This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk. Did you know that there are thousands of sailing events of all types around the world? Dramatic photos are captured with the bows of boats pitching into the waves upwind, or colorful spinnakers billowing downwind. There are races that are in bays, in straits, in gulfs, fjords, in bights, sounds, coves, and on lakes, and in the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans. There are yacht clubs and community sailing programs in countries around the world. There are super yacht races, tall ship races, dinghy races, collegiate races, and teams preparing for the Olympics for their respective countries. The photographers and media professionals who cover these races capture photographs and words to describe the passion, the excitement, the crashes, and the mastery of the moments as sailors, pro and amateur, compete for cups and prizes of all shapes and sizes. In the U.S., over 84 million adults participated in sailing last year, and more than 11 million boats were registered. Sailing in the Indian Ocean and along the Nile through Egypt, there are dhows, the wooden boats of all shapes and sizes that fishermen and traders have been sailing in for thousands of years. Our tall ship history is abundant with culture and cargo and skilled people traveling from country to country, continent to continent. Sailsport Talk cannot expect to cover all the news, but what you can expect from us is that we will be talking with people who are passionate about what they do, people who have courage, who have drive, and who have vision, but also with people with a profound love of the world's waterways, whose most precious moments are often silently experienced as a small human being on a planet where life above and below the water is so prevalent, we oftentimes don't think about how small the land is in comparison. It is no wonder that we are fascinated with the people who sail for sport and pleasure, and the many other types of boats that are part of our connections to each other in life on Earth. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and we welcome you to the world of sailing. In America, there are boat shows in Houston, Texas, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, Illinois, Nashville, Tennessee, Kansas, Missouri, Los Angeles, California, Stuart, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, and Naples, Florida. You don't have to be a competitive sailor to enjoy and experience fun on the water. Any boat is fun on the water. If you want to try it out, visit a local boat show, network with people who are there, and find out about your local community of sailors and power boaters. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk.
Thank you for that, Chris Cross. It is Tuesday. It's 9:40 Pacific time, and this is when we go out on the water with our friends at SailsportTalk.com. And co-hosting this segment with me is Karen Lyle once again. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great, Rick. And how are you doing?
Not too bad. What's on the docket today for our sailing?
Well, you know, you had promised me that you would tell me about your SailGP experience, because that was the first time that you've attended a sailboat race at all, ever, right?
Yeah.
And and in San Francisco, so with some of the fastest sailboats on Earth. So tell me about what your day was like. You got there somewhere around noon, and you after you got into the SailGP media tent, did you go out in the bleachers at all?
Well, let me take you back a little bit. And by the way, if you're wondering why Karen wasn't there, she had better things to do. She had to go to King Charles III's coronation.
It's the only thing that would have kept me away.
Yes, which is a pretty good excuse. Well, first of all, after, you know, I knew I was going to meet Patty Mangan, who, of course, is your compatriot and also someone who has been on the show many, many times in studio and on the phone from SailsportTalk.com. And she said to come to the St. Francis Yacht Club, which I have driven by a million times, but never gone in because I'm from Richmond and we're not allowed. And so after I parked, the thing that struck me, first of all, was there was a Matterhorn long line of people lined up for when it was open to find a spot on the bleachers. And I didn't realize how many people were interested in SailGP and seeing it in person. And I know we live in an area with more than 6 million people, so there's going to be people of every taste and every discipline. But I was very surprised at how many people were waiting to get in. So I bypassed all of them to get my press credential. And
well,
I went to the St. Francis Yacht Club, and they were like, "What? What are you talking about?" And then they gave me a wristband just to be able to walk in, and I was supposed to give it back. And I couldn't find Patty, so she said, "No, no, no, keep coming in, keep coming in." So I walked in, and everybody was setting up all these booths before they let the fans in. And then there was a woman from Barcelona who was originally from Hungary. She was helping me get my credential. It was so very, very international. I think that's one of the things that really struck me, was just how international this event is, Karen.
It is. Well, and now with 12 venues around the world. Germany just got added as a team, and they'll be showing up in Los Angeles in July, and the race starts again in 3 days in Chicago for the next season. It'll be the fourth season. Yeah, it's quite an experience. So you got to meet, one of the things I love about being in the press room, too, is just meeting all the media people from all around the world.
Well, I sat with Patty... Sorry, go ahead.
No. How was that for you? So did you sit inside the media room when you were watching the race?
Yeah, I never saw. I don't even know where the bleachers were. I guess if I had kept going down, but we were situated right on the water, and we were up high. You had to climb up some stairs, so we had this perfect view behind glass. And then there were these two giant monitors that were showing the TV coverage. And I give kudos to the people who did the TV coverage, because if you're just watching from the bleachers, I would have had no idea who was winning. But from the TV with the drone shots, and then they also kind of make like a little gridiron, like kind of a football field on the water to show you where people are going, what are they doing, talking about the tactics. And then once you're aware of why people are going where they are and what they're doing, it makes it more exciting. Because like I said, if I was in the bleachers, I would just think, is that guy winning or is that guy winning? So it was very, very nicely done on their broadcast.
Well, one of the things too about the SailGP race is they've got the cameras on the boats, and so you get to see from the perspective of all the different boats, as well as what you see on the water. Oracle, having powered this with their technology, has really added a very exciting element to the race, I think, you know, being able to see the speeds and who's winning, you know, from a visual standpoint. But I like watching it on the water. I think that's just really cool.
Well, it was interesting, because it was the last event of the year. So first they had a couple races to decide who would be the San Francisco champion. And then they had one more race to see who would win for the whole season. And then that was like $1 million. And you're right, the little GoPro cameras, and you could hear the captains on board. And also, I'll give you credit too, I knew a lot of these names of these skippers because they had been on SailSportTalk.com's Sports Byline segment. So these were a lot of people that I had interviewed before.
That's right. I mean, Tom Slingsby, who was the winner overall for that race, at the end of season 3, was on our show. He was the fourth guest that we had. And he's right up there on the wall with all those celebrity signatures. And we have a video of you and I interviewing him, but we've talked to him many times since then. So did you get a chance to talk to any of the sports celebrities while you were there, or were you mostly watching the race to get the perspective of a fan and a media person in the room?
No, I was sequestered in my media room, and so I was basically just talking to Patty. I didn't meet anybody else. I was a loner and a maverick. But it was very interesting to see that the tacticians, as they were called, on each catamaran was a woman. And I had asked Patty, I said, is that kind of a trend now? And it's interesting too, because, you know, you want every sport, every business wants diversity, inclusivity, if that's a word, And so it's interesting, and I thought that's probably a good thing to do to, you know, just to go with stereotypes. You just think about a woman being able to be the tactician while all the men were doing all the work, you know, just the sort of stereotypes, like she's got what's going on. So could you just explain to us what the tactician does during the race?
The tactician is the one who basically decides what the course is and what everybody, you know, what the strategy is. They're the strategists. They're keeping track of what's happening with the other teams, because every time you go up and down the course, you are making decisions about where you're going to be in relationship to the wind and the water and the current as well. And especially in San Francisco, where you have the current changes can also make a big difference in the speed of the boat. And so you can, same, you know, it just different wherever you are on the field, as you know, which is basically the space between the Golden Gate and the St. Francis, beyond the St. Francis Yacht Club, and you know, across the bay. So it makes a difference. So the tactician's decisions can make a difference as to how fast that boat is going and how it does in comparison to the other boats as well.
I think the other thing too is where we were situated, and you could see as they came in, everybody celebrating. But the thing I thought was most intriguing was that, you know, obviously you're being powered by the wind. And at one point, the winner looked like they had it in the bag, and then they just were dead in the water. And you're like, their foils sink down to the waterline. And I always wonder, like, how do you, you know, conjure up wind to get going again? And I guess it's a very arbitrary thing that the wind can just suddenly stop, and it doesn't stop for the other boat.
That's true. You can get little pockets where there's no wind. Now you can see that ahead of time by looking at the water, because the water will show, you know, when you're looking ahead, you can see like little dark spots where there's more wind than others. You can also look at the bubble trails to see the direction the wind is coming. So in addition to what you feel on your face, there's a lot of cues by looking at the water. But, you know, it is capricious. And you know, I know that you know, I've certainly sailed in the bay for many years now, and you're going to have all kinds of experiences, and you know, gusts of wind can come and break a boom, and you know, capsize a boat, and the wind can just go away for a moment, and that's actually the most challenging sailing, is the light wind sailing.
The thing is, Rick, what is it?
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go.
No, I just wanted to know about how your experience, as you start getting into learning how that race matters, did you get the concept about how the start is so important in the beginning of the race?
Yeah, they basically, and they were talking to Tom Slingsby, the skipper, and it was basically whoever got to that first turn was, they just said, that's the person who's going to win. And what was funny is that he did get to the first turn, and then right at the end, he ran out of wind. So he was almost wrong, but it is kind of funny how they did say, like, whoever gets to that first buoy or whatever you say, turn, that, yeah. So the other thing I thought was absolutely fascinating, because I thought, how do you start? And everybody gets a big, you know, gets wind in their sails, literally, and they start racing towards the start. And you could see this line on the TV coverage. And if you go over, of course, it's a false start, but they all the boats hit it with maybe 1 inch to spare. It was amazing to me how they could time with, like, you know, 8 seconds left to, like, okay, now we need to go. That, I thought to me, you know, I thought that was fascinating.
And that really comes from experience. And certainly these are pros on the water. They are athletes. They spend their lives preparing for these races. And, the ability to make a judgment call on that, you know, and be able to figure out how fast it's going to go just really has to do with time on the water. And that's also part of the tactician's job, too, is to decide what angle they're coming at that start line from. And then you've got rules of the road, or right-of-way, as you call it. So one of the things that they have to take into consideration is that the boat that is on the starboard tack, which is where the wind is coming over the right part of the boat, if you're facing the bow, has the right-of-way. And so when they're lining up and going across the race, they not only have to take into consideration the wind and the current and the waves and, you know, the tides, but they also have to take into consideration the other boats in the position. So they're going to want to get in a position where they have right of way, because if a boat's coming through and there's some question as to who has to give way, it's going to be the boat that's on the port tack. Now, there are other rules that are nuances, but that's kind of a general rule. So that's kind of something you don't necessarily see on the TV screen or so forth, but you'll hear the penalties that might come out if someone doesn't give way when they're supposed to, that kind of give them a penalty and points and set them back in the winning of the race.
There she is, Karen Lyle. We're talking a little Sail GP, one of the many topics you can find at sailsportstalk.com. Karen, thanks for coming by again. Good talking to you.
Well, it's good talking to you, and I'm glad to see you out there experiencing that sailboat racing. It's a good thing, Sail Sport Talk.